Secret family, family secrets. This is Blood Strangers, and I'm your host, Charlene Thorburn. Welcome, strangers. It's been such a long time since our last episode, but I do want to continue this series. I would love to put out more episodes, but there seems to be a temporary shortage of individuals with a story to share. So please reach out. It can be an adoption reunion, a parental discovery, an internet DNA finding, an interesting twist in the family tree, or perhaps mom was raised by grandma, but her sister was really her mother. What have you. Maybe you know someone with an intriguing family story. Tell them about the podcast. Hit me up and let's get more stories out there. It's about more than content. Sharing stories on this platform helps make others with similar life paths feel seen. And as we ask in this upcoming episode and in past episodes, is there really such a thing as a normal family? Family, as seen on TV, rarely exists, and all of our beautiful and sometimes painful variations are much more common, realistic, and relatable depictions. In this episode, I think it is what 1980s sitcoms would refer to as a very special episode. We have an extremely impromptu recording of myself, along with my best friend Matt, my biological aunt Dot, who is the eldest sister of my biological mother, Marianne, Dot's daughter Kelly, and my first cousin once removed, Addison, who is 14 here. For anyone not savvy in family relations, which included us, we had to look it up, that is the child of one's own first cousin. We talk a lot about Dina, my youngest aunt, who was not with us in person, just to clarify. The audio was challenging as it was the five of us, some noisy and generally squirrely people with only two mics, sitting around in the sunroom of my house in New Hampshire. It was nearly midnight. The gals were visiting from Oklahoma for a few days to enjoy New England in mid-October. It was their first time up here. Some times were had in the mountains, at the beach, and in my basement. They don't have basements in Oklahoma, and mine happens to be of particular interest, being very old and creepy. And, oh yeah, there was a lobster dinner. You'll hear all about it. The audio opens with us recovering from the mind boggle that is, what is a first cousin once removed anyway?
So now that we have the entire conversation explaining what a first cousin once removed is, this is my first cousin once removed, Addison.
I don't know what to say.
We're going to have a conversation about how we all met, because these are my actual blood strangers in my house. We just went on a creepy tour of my basement, and we battled spiders together, so now we're really close. But that's what families do together. And until a few years ago, I didn't know these guys.
And you're thinking now twice.
No, they're kind of the best.
How did we meet?
Trying to summarize and explain the series of events was too difficult in the moment, at least in a coherent way. So let me explain so you can better understand what I'm about to say. Dot was here with me, and we were talking about her youngest sister, Dina, who I initially was in contact with on Ancestry DNA in 2019. Years prior, I had unknowingly encountered Dina. She was registered on Ancestry as the owner of a family tree containing people I knew to be my relatives based on what my mother had written to me. It didn't dawn on me to message this person because I didn't recognize her unusual married surname and had no idea we were closely related. I didn't realize how closely related we were until 2019, and she and Dot popped up on Ancestry DNA as close genetic relatives, and she reached out to me. They never knew much about me, except that my mother, over the years, had six babies, and we all ended up in foster care and adopted.
How did we meet?
On the internet.
Ancestry.
That's how all the great romances start.
Yeah, there you go.
We all met each other in 2019 in person, but we met virtually via the glorious Ancestry DNA. When did you do your DNA tests?
I have not. I'm
not. Oh, you haven't?
I have not.
No, you have.
Yeah.
And so Dot is my aunt. She is my mother's eldest sister. You did the DNA thing, and Dina did the DNA thing, but I didn't know them.
You got hold of Dina first.
Yes. Yeah. So Dina is the youngest. So my mother has 5 siblings, mm-hmm. and so Dada's the oldest. My mother's like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And Dina is the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dina had done the DNA thing, and I had seen this name on like a decade before because I knew my grandparents' names because my mother had written them in a letter to me, just sort of telling me a little bit about herself, and I looked them up and made this family tree of these people I pretty sure thought were my family.
How old were you when you did that?
I don't know. It was like a decade ago, maybe. It's like 30.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know who these people were. I was like, oh, that's cool. These are their names. Those are the names she told me. These are those people. But there was this, like, name, funny last name, so I remembered it because it was kind of unusual. And then seeing that a decade later they had this really close DNA match, I messaged her. I'm like, oh my god, who are you? Or she maybe messaged me and was like, who are you? I was like, oh, I'm Marianne's daughter. And everyone went, you're who? Like, she had a child. Like, did you know it? You did not know I even existed.
No.
Or like, you knew there was like...
No, we knew there was the amount of kids. We knew what the amount of kids were that she had, but we did not know you personally, or anybody personally.
Or like any idea like where
anybody was. And we always thought
someday,
we used to think someday somebody's going to walk up on her doorstep and say, hello, this is who I am. We talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that little thing happened, we went... Oh my goodness, you know. I'm looking for a biological father. So that's what my plan was, why I did the DNA, was to find my biological father, which we have not had
still
done.
They
haven't done anything. So that's how we found you. And we were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it gets more interesting. Dot only joined Ancestry DNA to find the family of her biological father. Finding me and my mother was all a bonus. My mother had disappeared from them, moving from place to place, drifting to shelters and group homes, losing contact with her sisters for nearly 20 years. Although she's found us, Dot still hasn't found relatives on her father's side. She was born in post-war Germany to my grandmother and an American serviceman who, as it ends up, was already married with a child in North Carolina. My grandmother Bridget was left to raise Dot on her own until she met my grandfather Bill, a member of the U.S. Army.
So are you the only child? Have you met any of your brothers or sisters?
I have.
You can almost hear me quietly sigh in preparation to tell my tale once more. I've had this conversation hundreds of times over the past 20 years. The difference now is that it's evolved to the point where the list of characters has grown so large, and there are now so many plot lines and separate timelines that I can hardly keep it straight myself. The irony was not lost on me in this moment as I explained my family story to my own family. It being my own story and having explained it dozens of times, it's very commonplace to me, but even to those involved, like Dot and Kelly and little Addison, it's a new story.
So my mother had 6 children, and I was the only child with my particular father.
Mm-hmm.
And my first 2 brothers are 6 and 4 years older than me. And they were her sons. That she was married, like, I was married and had these 2 sons. And then, like, I don't actually know what happened. That's what I want to know. Mm. And that's what I really want to, like, ask her. But she just always kind of goes on these tangents about, you know, and daddy yeah. said this. About something from the past.
What?
My friend Matt, bless his heart in the most sincere way. He's there because he's gone on trips with me to see Marianne and has spent time with the entire cast of characters. He's essentially become part of the fabric of the story. And yes, he does a hilarious and spot-on impression of my mother and her storytelling stylings.
My friend Matt is here because he's...
You
want to
know what?
He does a great impression of my mother.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what?
What's the other thing she says?
My dad is what she calls
crackhead.
Everyone. Everyone's a crackhead.
Yeah.
Everyone's a crackhead.
And then we go into about a 3-minute story.
Mm-hmm. That you've likely heard before. You may have made it.
Still a great storyteller.
She's a wonderful story. Because you would
She'll keep you hanging on every thread.
You're on the edge of your seat. You've heard the story 7, maybe 12 times, but you're still, you're like, and then, and you want to know what?
You're right.
Something happened, and she met Earl Edwards, swept her right off her feet. He was a good-looking guy back in the day.
Never know.
So this. My two brothers, myself, and then she moved to Colorado. She ended up in Colorado after that. But my sister was born in Oklahoma. Mm. Yes.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought she was born in Colorado.
I did too.
And I have two brothers. One is related to my sister, like full blood. She has the same father. And then there's one son that I don't know who his father is, and we'll just leave it at that.
Probably the best thing.
That is the best thing.
And how fast forward we've come now.
Yeah.
As of this day, we're here as Oklahoma people in New Hampshire.
They have seen some sights of them. They didn't actually see the mountains because there was too much fog. We went to the mountains. We went to the ocean. They've learned all about oil burners and radiators. Yeah. And basements.
I've never heard the word tree peeping. Or leaf peeping. What do you guys say?
Leaf peeping.
I've never heard that term before in my life.
Peepers.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the conversation on that. What do you say?
Leaf peepers.
They're leaf peepers.
They're looking at,
what is that?
They're looking at
peeping the leaves.
They're peeping the leaves.
Who?
The people.
We did.
The damn tourists.
You were a leaf peeper.
I have never heard that.
Dot looks around. Yeah. Aghast.
Never heard that.
I have never.
No.
She's a leaf peeper, folks.
Leaf peeper.
She is.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Peeling leaves so hard.
She was peeping them so hard.
And we ate the best lobster.
We had lobster.
Oh my goodness.
And this girl who lives in the smack dab in the middle of the country, like, just instinctively knows how to tear apart a lobster. I love it. So in 2019, we did this giant reunion. I had never met my mother in person since I was a tiny baby and couldn't remember her. I hadn't met Dot and Kelly and Dina, the aforementioned youngest sister, and her daughter, and my brother and his wife and his daughter. Oh, and Marianne's then husband?
Boyfriend.
Her spiritual husband.
Are they still together?
No.
He threatened to kill her.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So he got removed.
He got removed from
He's
the home.
He's once removed. He's once removed.
When people had asked me what that was like, I was like, well, imagine you have just like, you randomly pick a house in a neighborhood. You knock it and you smell some barbecue. And you're like, hi, can I come to your barbecue? I don't know any of you, but can I come? And you're at their barbecue, and that's what it was.
Like, okay. That took a lot of guts.
That took a lot of guts.
Hey.
By yourself.
Yeah.
Like, straight up by yourself to that barbecue.
I couldn't believe you went.
And it was so fun, and we hit it off right off the bat.
And the ribs were to die for.
He's a very good
Yeah, they really were.
That poor thing, he was so stressed by that. Jason.
My brother.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you can tell.
He was just sweating beads of anxiety.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it for him. He powered through it though, and he was him and his wife was so nice. They even invited us back again.
Yeah. I know, they even had us back again.
So what about this extended family now that you have in Oklahoma? What do you think?
What do I think? I have never found it easy to say what's deeply in my heart. Emotions are uncomfortable. Real topics are something I typically avoid, and I tend to keep the conversation to cats and food. My short reply that follows doesn't begin to describe this experience. Finally meeting my mother in 2019, and several times again since, she is as loving, sincerely loving, and kind as one can be, despite significant mental and physical health issues and the incredibly hard life she's endured. And meeting these amazing people who are so warm and welcoming and fun, it goes beyond words how much I wish they had been my family all along. I've known them for only less than 4 years at this point, but I feel a closeness with them that I honestly didn't expect to have. The last time Dot and I visited Marianne in Missouri together, she and I shared a hotel room and had many conversations about our pasts, Marianne's past, and how we plan to stay a family and stay in touch. This gift of reconnection has been something that goes far beyond words.
I feel like they were, I don't know, you guys are like the family I do wish I had had.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. We're glad. We're glad of that.
Better late than never.
It is better late than never.
Yeah. Does most of our family live in Oklahoma? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our family is always the better.
Yeah.
You know.
It's
we're excited about it.
More people to share intimate relationships and experiences with, like we did today and yesterday.
That was fun. We've had wonderful experiences here. We've things that we've not ever seen or done. A lot of new ways to live that we just assume everybody lives like us, but they don't. And it's been fun. A different way people live. It smells different here. It looks different. Well, I mean, the air and the moisture and the trees and the stuff that the mist on that mountain we were in, you know, that was just that was wonderful experiences we've had.
Yeah,
wonderful experiences up here. We'll definitely come back. We hopefully she invites us back.
So yeah, Charlene, we thought it was cool. We had extra family to engage with. And you were eager to be our family, so that's fun.
We were excited about.
Yeah, I mean, they like hug each other and tell each other randomly they love each other. It's like,
yeah, we do that.
They're real like,
family.
Family. Yeah. That's what families do.
We don't do this lean in hug and just kind of you hug. Get a hold of it.
If I hug someone, it's because I truly want to. Uh-huh. Yeah, when people like run up to me and hug me without like. I like freeze up like Rain Man. It's bad.
I grew up in a family that didn't hug or express emotion. In the family I grew up in, no one said, I love you, except my adoptive mother would call me the night before a plane trip to awkwardly say I love you because she firmly believed that planes were unsafe and I was bound to crash and die. So the only thing that would get those three words out of her mouth was what she thought would be my impending death. Hugging was a concept brought to our family late in the game by my Lebanese sister-in-law, who comes from a long line of aggressive huggers. But hugging, affection, words of affirmation, these were foreign concepts to me growing up. Now, being part of this hugging, loving, affirming family is so bittersweet because now I see and belong to a group of people who are comfortable with familial love and affection, but it stings when I think that I missed out on it for decades. Ends up it was new to Dot as well.
But you know, I grew up not being hugged. I grew up not being hugged. I just contributed that to my German mother, that she didn't get a lot of that when she was growing up either. And so we didn't get, I never got told I love you or anything like that, or you or if you're special, you're anything, you know, I never did either. But I said, by God, when I have kids, I will not raise them like that. You know, it's I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, don't we don't hang up on the phone. I probably more with Kelly, Kelly always says I love you. I'll go, okay, goodbye. Because I'm mad. Usually because I'm mad. Probably she within a minute, she will call me right back. She said, did you say I love you? She will call me back within a
minute. So I've had to teach my mother how to say it.
Yeah.
I love you.
Now, I will any other time, but when I'm mad, it's like, okay, goodbye, Kelly.
Good night.
And she just calls her up, and she waits about a minute.
Use
and then
second.
I do feel bad.
Do you count down?
Because I know how she does. She is about it. And she'll call me back and say, did you tell me you love me?
You know, when you share stories about your family, I think people can, because everybody has a family, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, or great. It doesn't matter.
The idea of, like, normal family, like, it doesn't exist.
Even,
friends over the years, like, learning, you kind of learn stuff about their family. You know, the friends you grow up with thinking they have the perfect family, or whatever. You know, it might not have as much hills and valleys as your own family, but, like, you know, everyone's got their stuff.
And they have a story, too. So, see, it's all family.
Oh, man, that's going to piece out.
I got to get up and do it all over again.
I know.
Well, Matt, I'm glad you were here for the lobster experience.
So much fun.
Me too.
The destruction.
Poor little lobster souls and livers and eggs.
My favorite part, I think, was plating them.
My favorite part.
When my mom ran out of the dining room,
she backed out of the dining room like a cat who saw a cucumber.
Nope. Oh, no. What's on my plate? Oh, Lord.
I don't know what.
First time we've all had lobster. First time we've eaten it.
Oh,
it's so good to see
you guys.
It
was so fun. It was so fun.
It was. I had a blast. I'll never forget.
Exactly. So we had the lobster experience today.
I know.
And get up and give him a hug.
Get up and give him a hug. We hug in this family. I think Matt and I have hugged like 5 times.
We see him a lot.
Usually when somebody or something has died.
Like something sad. We're consoling each other.
Yeah, we hug when things die.
Yeah.
After Matt turned into a pumpkin and left for the night, Addison wanted to play interviewer, and we all had a brief Q&A with our young host. Some of the questions, pretty random, but some interesting things were revealed.
All right, so Addison, what sort of questions do you want to delve into?
First one, have you ever met someone famous?
Have I ever met someone famous?
Or you two. You two, too.
Have you ever met someone famous? I've met a bunch of famous people.
Oh, okay. Like who?
Yes, I met Garth Brooks at a craft show when I was so young.
Yeah. Yes,
I did.
Garth
I totally
Brooks.
Did.
Yeah, we
and
did.
It was right on the cusp of
what?
Him, like, hitting big. And
yeah.
I...
Right, was this before or after Friends in Low Places?
Before.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
right.
He
was
before.
A newbie.
Yeah.
Newbie. He
yeah.
was just
I did
starting
meet
his...
Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
oh,
at
wow.
the craft show with Aaron Tulsa.
Yeah.
About you?
Yeah.
I lived on Martha's Vineyard for a bunch of years, and so I worked for a vet, and we went to, she did house calls, and so we got to go to houses, and the three kind of cooler ones, we used to go to Carly Simon's house.
I love her.
And she had a dog, a little poodle named Molly, so we'd go to her house, and I think it was right before Brokeback Mountain came out. We had a gentleman bring in his German Shepherd, and he was just this super handsome, kind of shy dude. And he used a fake name. He used a name that ended, it was his middle name, and we figured that out after the fact, because the internet was not super smart then. It took us a while. It was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, wow.
And, and I had a Coca-Cola on Walter Cronkite's porch with him.
That is cool.
That is neat.
He and his wife had gotten two little kittens, and we were over giving them their like first shots and clipping their little nails. So,
oh, this is a good one. What's a body part that you wouldn't mind losing?
My left pinky.
Toe. You need your pinky hand.
My left
pinky
one,
toe.
Useless.
What?
Why would you?
You would need. You would
useless.
Need this.
You need that.
I don't. It's useless. My left ring finger, even more useless.
What about you?
Oh, that's actually really... I didn't even mean it that way, but I was like...
That's hilarious.
I mean, you're...
What is the best purchase you've ever made?
Man.
The best purchase I made was my Michael Kors purse. That was the best. I had a great day that I was scared to death buying this purse, thinking,
why?
You have never... I have
there
never
were spiders
spent
in
that.
It?
No, I never spent that kind of money on a purse. Who does that?
How much did it cost?
$200.
I was going to say, you can just get it at TJ Maxx.
They have $200.
At TJ Maxx.
What about you? What's the best thing you ever purchased?
Yeah, just
my house. Like, that's the biggest one I've ever made in my life. Best investment. That's a very adultish thing to say.
I would say my last house was the best purchase because... I was really unprepared for it, and it was terrifying, but it allowed me to pay off my student debt and all that.
Mm.
If you had to change your name, what would your new name be, and why would you choose that name?
Charlene, what's your full name?
Anne. Not even Anne with an E, like more illustrious orphans. Callie's middle name is also Anne. Hers was taken from one of our grandmother's 3 middle names. My middle name was originally Dawn, but was changed to Anne because it was my adoptive mother's middle name and a simultaneous nod to Marianne, my biological mother.
Anne.
Oh, I knew that! Same as mine.
Yeah. People always think my name is like something else. Oh, is it Charlotte? And I'm like, oh no, it's not. That'd be a really nice name. But I'm Charlene.
Charlene.
And my mom's name's Marianne, and my daddy's name is Earl.
You are from Oklahoma. You are from Oklahoma.
It's a damn Dixie Chick song.
Any one type of crime, what crime charge would you like to be immune to?
Immune to?
I can answer for Charlene, none of them. She doesn't break the rules.
Yeah. Literally, I almost was like murder.
I will not
sit on someone's front porch.
Yeah. Or speed.
But I will
murder you.
I will kill someone.
On jugular.
Purpose.
And walk away.
If I could get away with that, I'd kill
them. Who do you always go out your way to be nice to?
Old people.
Yeah, old people. I'll go with that. Always old people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to say myself. Be nice to myself.
I wanted to say that.
That's nice.
But I'm so mean to myself.
But I want to be. That's who I should be nicest to.
Yeah, we should be nicest to ourselves.
What old person things do you do?
Everything in my life.
Everything I do represents an elder.
When was the last time you were snooping and found something you wish you hadn't?
Wish I had.
Aside from having a little fun with us, our young interviewer asked the next question, unknowingly opening up a conversation about Dot's secret past, which began her search for paternal family and her lifetime curiosity about her identity.
I've done that. I've snooped and found something I didn't like about when I was 14 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, I was snooping and found my birth certificate.
Oh.
Yeah, and you realize and you go, who am I? Who am I? Who am I at 14? And of course, as a kid, when you think about who you are, until you see something on paper, then you kind of go, well, where did that name come from? Or where's, because I had a different name growing up than my siblings did.
Uh-huh.
But the name that I carried as a child was not spelled as my biological name. And it was spelled as an American way of what my biological name was. And I went, who am I? Who am I?
Dot was born Dorothea Albrecht, Americanized to Dorothy Albright, upon arrival to the U.S. with my grandparents, her mother and stepfather. My grandmother's name was Americanized from Brigitte Margareta Frieda Anna Albrecht to Bridget Albright. Dot grew up with her American name, never knowing the full story as to why her siblings had a different last name than hers, as she was never given my grandfather's surname. She never knew her origin story prior to finding this birth certificate.
So whenever you first, started talking, did you start German or did you start?
No, we were never taught German. No, when we came to the United States as small children, they told my mother, do not teach them German, that English now will be your first language,
mm-hmm.
which German should have been our first language, and then mm-hmm. we were taught English. But she spoke German, but we were never taught, and I wished we were. We should have been taught German. They told her not to. You're in America now. You're, and she was as German as she can be to the day she died. Her accent never left her.
Mm-hmm.
Never
they
left
don't.
Her.
They don't.
And so I said, I wished we were taught German
so
as
the,
our first language.
The birth certificate that you found was that it had the name of the name
my mother's,
the name of your birth father, or was it birth father unknown?
No,
unknown.
Yeah, no. It had my mother's name, and then my name. The American version is
German
Albright.
Name.
German, it was Albrecht.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I looked at that, you know, as a kid, you look at it and you go, And then, of course, as a kid, I did not know my mother's whole name.
Because
mm-hmm. she never said it. She never spoke it, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I found out her whole name.
Yeah.
And then my name was like hers on the birth certificate. But it had nothing listed by biological father, anything like that.
Do you have a million middle names, too?
No.
No.
No, my mother did. So I said that was probably when I was looking through a drawer. I found this piece of paper, and I still have it today. It's a birth certificate with my picture on it when I was 3 years old. And I still have it. Yeah, that's probably
the thing. What's grandma's middle name? I know Anne, isn't it? Bridget?
Anne? Bridget.
Margarita.
Yeah.
Frida and
Albrecht. Albrecht. I would like to know why she had all those names. It is a status thing because they were well-to-do. Her family was all very well-to-do people.
Yeah,
they were very. She had governess. She had gardeners. She had, you know, her parents didn't raise them. The governess raised them.
No wonder she didn't learn.
There was no loving. There was no hugging. She was from a governess that raised her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very well-to-do family. They had everything, but
yeah.
The war took care of that, you know. How would Charlene deal with your dad? Mm. I wonder. How would I? Yeah, how would you deal? She probably...
How I deal with him?
She probably overwhelmed him.
We all dealt with him.
Did you all overwhelm him?
Yes, we did. Yes, I would a lot. Yeah. He'd be like, you have to slow down, Kelly. You're talking too fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Yeah. He'd have to tell me, you're going to have to slow down. You're talking too fast.
Was it because... he like couldn't hear, or like was he just like just slow it down?
Good night, America.
Reel it in,
exactly,
America. I think like 14 people listen to my podcast.
Are you done now?
She's done with her interview.
Q&A.
Her Q&A of her family members.
Weighted questions.
Well, I'm about to round it up and go to bed, too.
Oh, we're going to bed.
Go to bed.
Yeah. 11:35. That's a reasonable time to go to bed.
It's 11:30.
It is.
And we thank you. We had a great time.
We have had a great time.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching this.
Oh my God.
They're not watching.
Yeah.
They're listening.
They're watching with their ears.
Thank you for listening to this.
Aww.
We loved it.
Thank you, America, or whoever's listening. And thank you, Addison. As overused as the word often is, this visit from them was surreal. Here in my house were these three hilarious and wonderful women who... until just a few years ago, were essentially familial myths before meeting on the internet. Besides the superficial similarities like being extremely loud when excited, using nonstop hand gestures when speaking, and a huge enthusiasm for food, I find that my biological relatives all share a natural warmth and humanity about them that I did not grow up with, but I know has always been in me. My New England practicalities that have been ingrained in me were gently challenged by their hard-on-your-sleeve optimism and curiosity about this land of oceans, mountains, and disdain for eye contact. Over the years, I've almost created in my mind an alternate universe where my mother was allowed to keep me and my siblings because her strong family was behind her. However, she was so opposed to returning home to her parents and her family due to severe child abuse, my mother was lost to them, and so, in turn, were we. What I wouldn't give to have been raised around these aunties and cousins. Dot still hopes to find relatives related to her biological father. We're hoping that someone somewhere will choose to spit in a tube in the name of science and familial connection. To know that my aunt also has an entire family of blood strangers out there makes me feel a connection to her most of all. She knows the feeling of the unknown, the feeling of wondering how things may have been different, and hoping to find the truth, no matter what it is or how different it may be from what you thought you knew. Sharing our stories, whether here or in a hotel in Missouri, brings us closer together and less like strangers. We hope you feel closer too. Do you have a story you'd like to share in the podcast? Let me know. Reach out via email, bloodstrangers603@gmail.com, or on Instagram, @bloodstrangers. You can come chat in person, or if you're far, far away, we can chat on the phone. Don't be a stranger. Blood Strangers is co-created by Charlene Thorburn and Tiffany Lassard, hosted and produced by Charlene Thorburn, concept and title by Tiffany Lassard, audio assistance provided by Justin Smith, theme music is The Plot Thickens, by Joshua Specht, courtesy of Soundstripe.